For years, there have been allegations about what methods were used by some journalists to get stories, including hacking into messages on mobile phones. But have such methods been used more recently? After inquiries triggered by PM, the man who speaks for the parents of Madeleine McCann, who was abducted from a Portuguese resort almost 4 years ago, believes someone attempted to access information about his mobile phone account and his voicemail. There's no evidence to suggest who may have been responsible, but Clarence Mitchell is to speak to the police about it. John Minnell reports.
The hunt for Madeleine. Police widen the search and Interpol join the investigation.
Madeleine McCann disappeared from a holiday apartment in Portugal in May 2007.
Please, please do not hurt her. Please don't scare her.
There was intense media interest.
Kate! Kate, how do you feel?
The story continued to make headlines for months.
The parents of Madeleine McCann are to leave Portugal this morning.
This is a typical piece of coverage. This was in late July 2008, just after Kate and Jerry had their Arguido status lifted.
Clarence Mitchell became Kate and Jerry McCann's spokesman, so was seen by journalists as a key to potential new angles.
I had journalists, some of them almost in tears on certain days, saying they were under such pressure from their news desks, they needed a front page splash by 4 o'clock that afternoon. And if I didn't get it to them, the implication was they'd almost be fired.
In September last year, I learned of talk that the McCann story may have been a possible target of phone hacking. So I contacted Clarence Mitchell.
I was always concerned that if some journalists were up to this sort of thing, that I might be a target, but I had no proof. The BBC, through yourself, approached me, so I approached my phone company, Vodafone, and asked them to go back over my records, which is what they've done.
What happened?
They're very good. They said they could look back. They don't keep all of the records, each and every single phone call, I think, for more than a year. However, what they were able to do was go back much further on their customer service number, and there are records for that going back several years.
And you've been provided with this document, which is quite a hefty thing, 36 pages long.
Yes, these are the records of all calls regarding my number to Vodafone customer services. It details everything from bill payments, payments received, or any queries or problems you have with your phone.
The phone company, Vodafone, did flag up three entries here. They've highlighted them in yellow.
That's right. The first ones were on the 29th of February 2008. The operator lists it, saying a gentleman called wishing to check the phone as he gets calls each night from the number and wanting information and is, quotes, a witness on the CID trial for McCann's. Well, that doesn't make sense. It certainly wasn't me that made that call. I would never use that phraseology. And there was no such thing as a CID trial for McCann's. It's ridiculous. That appears to me to be a blatant attempt to get information about whose number it was and what was happening. Thankfully, the operator didn't give him any.
And just to be clear, this was somebody phoning about your account, but it was not you. You did not make this call.
The entries that Vodafone have flagged up, I know absolutely that I did not make these calls to Vodafone customer service.
And if we turn over the page,
if we go on a few months to July 2008, and again, bear in mind, this is at the height of the Madeleine story, when it was receiving front page coverage virtually every day in the tabloids. This is a longer entry. And basically, it claims that the person ringing, not me, I stress, had received a text message claiming that a third party had been trying to access their voicemail. But there was nothing on the account showing that. Well, that's because it isn't true. I never got such a text. Somebody else is, again, fishing for information here. The Vodafone operator believed they were talking to me as the account holder. That's why they listed as customer.
It seems because there are no records of calls made to or from your phone number anymore, it's impossible to tell who did this.
It is impossible to state with any accuracy who was behind these calls. I do know they weren't me. It would be naive of me, given the situation I was in at the time and the amount of journalistic inquiry and traffic that I was receiving on that number, it would be naive of me to think that it wasn't journalistic in its nature. There's no other reason for anybody else to try and get into my number. I am assuming it was journalistic in its nature, but I have no way of knowing who, why, or what they were doing it for. I know the journalists in Portugal with us and back in Britain at that time were under immense pressure to deliver fresh angles, fresh stories every day. This may, I stress may, have been another attempt just to get under the skin of the story.
Of course, there was an ongoing police investigation at this time. Is it possible that the police may have attempted to do this?
I don't think they would have done it that way. I'm sure they have legal routes to getting hold of that material and work closely with the phone companies if required on any particular situation. I'm categoric about this. This was cack-handed, pretty low-level amateurish attempt. And thankfully, as I say, Vodafone did the job and stopped it.
How has this left you feeling?
Well, I'm angry, I'm shocked by it, but not surprised.
What have Kate and Jerry McCann said to you about what has happened to your phone?
Well, I'm afraid they've got a very dim view of the British press, certainly some sections. So there's a sort of world weariness about this. Yes, of course, they're angered by this and will be upset. But again, like myself, in some respects, not surprised that somebody could be so stupid as to possibly try this.
Clarence Mitchell talking to our reporter, John Minette.